Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
So let's talk about incline hiking versus decline hiking.
Right.
This is something that you and I are...
We are like two roads in a yellow wood.
Two roads in a yellow wood that diverge in totally different directions.
It's true.
I much prefer a decline.
And I much prefer an incline.
Okay, why do you prefer an incline?
And we're best friends. I like the challenge of the incline. I like kind of pushing my body up in that way. I have one kinky sort of knee that doesn't love... decline.
So you're a fetish for winning.
I have a fetish for winning. Welcome to the stage. Have you ever met me?
Yeah.
Give me the gold star now.
I mean, we're both competitive people. Mm-hmm. I don't love incline hiking because, as we discovered on this trip, when I feel things, I feel them immediately and intensely.
It's true. Where I...
It's a slow burn.
It is a simmer to a boil.
I'm like on the middle of an incline hike. I am so frustrated and I'm so mad. I have so many incline tokens and when they're spent, that's it.
Right.
That is it.
No incline for you, no shower for you.
No. Like that one campsite.
Like that one campsite.
But when we start going back down, when the decline begins, I feel instantly better.
It's true. I don't dislike decline. It just hurts me more. That's right. Let's see what else we could apply that to.
Right.
Right.
Well, yeah, I get that. I would say that incline hurts me more. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm not a big fan.
A biff fan.
A biff fan, right.
A biff fan.
I mean, there are certain things like the beehive in Acadia, I would much rather go up and rather than go down.
Tricky which things.
Was tricky. And
yeah.
Like, we did go down the first time by mistake.
Right.
And then we went up the second time we went through. And the other thing about incline I don't love is when it's not clearly marked on a map that something is going to be incline.
Right. When there's no elevation mapping.
When there's no elevation mapping or there is... But the section that you're on doesn't look like it's filled with elevation. It looks flat.
Mm-hmm.
When that happens, that's really annoying.
Mm-hmm. That pushes your explode button real fast.
Basically, it does.
No, I would rather have that, like, I don't know. There's just, like, something nice about that. I'm a...
A glutton for competition.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national park. At the national park. At the national park. Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We would like to acknowledge that while hiking in the area also known as Grand Teton National Park, we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Shoshone-Bannock, Eastern Shoshone, and Cheyenne people.
Grand Teton National Park was established in February 26th of 1929. So it is firmly a... Is it an Aries?
Honey, no.
Pisces.
Your understanding of where things land on the zodiac is...
It's bad.
Filled with gaps.
Filled with gaps. It's a Pisces.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, great. I feel like this is us holding on to like a season one bit.
Oh, but I enjoy it.
I know you do.
So hold on, we will. Firmly a Pisces, expanded September 14th, 1950. So Virgo rising.
Sure.
don't even. Pisces Virgo rising is a very good sign. That is from a song.
Is it?
Even though we ain't got money, I'm so in love with you, honey.
Okay, they mention Pisces, that, Virgo rising?
Mm-hmm.
Seriously?
Yeah, that's a lyric in the song.
That sounds like something from the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Astrology. Grand Teton is a park that is known for its backcountry camping, climbing, fishing, hiking, wildlife. Honestly, the things to see are the Tetons. The actual range itself is kind of like you can't miss it, and it's incredibly beautiful and hard to comprehend at the same time. Mm-hmm. Everything felt very big in the Tetons.
Yeah, we arrived in Grand Teton National Park after hiking the South Rim Trail of the Grand Canyon of the Yellowstone.
Mm-hmm.
We drove out of Yellowstone National Park, came out through the south entrance, didn't take too long from the south entrance to get to essentially the spot where you can see those Grand Tetons.
Right, and where you enter the park. It is just due south. They are sisters,
they
essentially.
Are,
And they can't do it alone.
That's a Chicago reference. Not so close like a Kings Canyon in a Sequoia.
No,
like
but
literally
darn close.
But darn close.
Darn close.
You know they're darn close.
You know it. They don't kiss. They're not like kissing cousins or anything.
But, and Grand Teton feels enormous, and it is, but technically speaking, is a smaller park than Yellowstone.
Oh, yes.
Because Yellowstone is huge.
Yes.
So we drive in. To the left, we see just desert, nothing. And then to the right, it's these gigantic Tetons.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided, we were like, we're going to do our visitor center stuff now and not hike today, but get our bearings of what's happening before we head to where we're staying, our accommodations.
Right.
And then we'll come back tomorrow.
Which was some funny accommodations in lots of ways, but we'll get to that in a second.
We head to the visitor center first. We pull in and we go to the White Alert Craig Thomas Discovery and Visitor Center, named after a Republican senator. Anyway, so it's a really big visitor center. And it's got these giant sweeping windows, and there is a theater, but it's COVID closed.
Mm-hmm.
But there's all of this exhibition, and the exhibition was like all about the science of the Tetons, how they were formed, also the indigenous history of the area.
People that settled, the animals that were there, lots of sculpture, which I appreciated to kind of like hammer that point home, but also some very informative placards in front of those sculptures.
We would find out later that they have invested a lot of money in the visitor center experience in Grand Teton National Park. This was our first taste of that.
Yeah.
And I noted that the structures where they had the information resembled the peaks of the Tetons.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They had an art exhibit too in there as well. There were some
folk art.
There was some folk art. There was also collections from indigenous people and indigenous tribes of the area too that were in display cases as well. So it was a beautiful visitor center. They had a lot to offer there. I think it was one of the like more pristine-ish sort of visitor centers.
Oh, certainly. It was definitely that.
It was like high class, baby.
We chatted with a ranger. We were particularly interested in, there's a loop that went around.
It was the Cascade Canyon to Paintbrush
Canyon loop. We couldn't really tell on the map how long it was. And so we wanted to talk to the ranger about this. We were like, hey, could we do this loop? And the ranger was like, you could. It's 20 miles.
Right.
And we
we had talked to some folks when we were in Glacier, which had happened prior to this, even though we're not there yet in the show. And they had recommended this hike.
So we talked to the ranger, and the ranger said, a lot of people will go up Paintbrush Canyon and do the loop around Holly Lake and then come back.
Right. And he was like, if you decide to go past Holly Lake, The switchbacks are very intense. It's a lot. And then you would loop into Cascade Canyon, basically, come back down. Yeah.
But everyone kind of consistently said that if you were only going to go up one of these sides, because essentially, like, this loop goes around one of the mountains, mm-hmm. one of the Tetons, mm-hmm. that...
You're right near Disappointment Peak.
Right, there, right. That is there. But to if you're only going to explore one of these two canyons, mm-hmm. that paintbrush was the one to explore. Mm-hmm.
That was later confirmed, too.
Later confirmed. Mm-hmm. They also had a store in this visitor center, which we went into. I got a hat in the store. Mm-hmm. This hat was designed by a local artist. Mm-hmm.
Using, it was all like recycled water bottles that had made the hat, which I thought was cool. It was like a way to like use recycling and sustainability practices to sell merchandising, which was great. After that, we kind of poking around both the store and the visitor center. We leave and we head out on the road and towards the Teton. I'm trying to say this correctly because it is a little bit of a tongue twister. The Alta Teton Teepee Lodge.
Which is where we were staying.
Which was on the complete other side of the Tetons.
Yes.
Yeah.
In Idaho.
In Idaho.
And that meant we were going to have to drive through Jackson Hole.
Yes.
And then later over Teton Pass in order to get there.
Right. Which we really had a hard time finding accommodations when we booked everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a little tricky.
That weren't ridiculously expensive.
Right.
So this was a little further away and we knew we would have to do some driving, but it looked really comfortable and lovely.
We were also told the drive through Teton Pass was going to be really nice.
Yeah.
Like a lot of good views.
Really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So we got some gas in Jackson Hole. This is when I saw like it was a grandmother, a mom, and a daughter who were paying for like snacks inside of the gas station. Mm-hmm. And they got into an argument about whose truck it was that they were in. Like, daughter was like, I don't have cash. Let me go get cash out of my truck. Mother's like, it's my truck. It's not your truck. She's like, it doesn't matter. And then they got into an argument about whose
about
truck.
Possessive
who owned
articles.
The truck. Yes. And it was like, I'm just eating my snacks watching.
Right.
I'm kidding. I hadn't paid for them, so I wasn't eating them. But we drove through Jackson Hole.
Yes.
Next. And Mike, why don't you tell us with your rain cloud sensibilities mm-hmm. what your experience was driving through Jackson Hole?
It was a lot. It is very touristy. That's essentially the long and the short of it. When you get past like the Teton, like after you exit out of the park, which isn't that far from Jackson Hole, you come into the town. One of the first stoplighted streets you encounter has a park that has an archway full of antlers that has been created by a local
artist.
There
are restaurants everywhere. Stores everywhere.
And it was just, there were people everywhere too. And so we were still, and still are, living in COVID, you know, carefulness and trying to like navigate the world in that way. And it just felt like a lot there. And also just trying to drive, we hit, unfortunately, we were in traffic for quite some time trying to essentially get around to Teton Pass because we were basically at like rush hour traffic essentially.
Yeah. And your sort of sourness about souveniring along with your sourness about waiting, it sort of created a perfect storm for you to just really dislike Jackson Hole.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say this.
Guess we're not getting that like advertising deal.
We did not get any sort of time to spend in Jackson Hole as far as like
our time was tight
walking around and like exploring it and people will come just to vacation in Jackson Hole.
Well, and Jackson Hole is one of the wealthiest towns in
like
America.
Areas, yes.
Because
like Airbnbs there were so much money.
But so many celebrities also own
it's
homes
true.
In
it's
the
true.
Jackson Hole area or in Jackson Hole proper.
So yeah. What I'm saying is that there's a lot of money here.
Yeah.
And because of that, this is not like West Yellowstone was sort of like very touristy mm-hmm. and very sort of like accessible. as far as like restaurants, it felt sort of like everybody could gather there.
Yeah.
Jackson Hole feels a little more like there's a lot of wealth around.
Right. And yes, that was definitely,
especially later when we saw Teton Village, but which right. is near Jackson Hole, but not in Jackson Hole.
Right.
So would I go back to explore Jackson Hole? Absolutely. Sure. It's a cute spot.
We talked about trying to do like a brewery one night.
And yeah, we did. And we ended up, it didn't work out because of other things that ended up happening.
Yes.
But thankfully, every amenity you could imagine is there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I needed some super glue. And luckily, like, there was an Ace Hardware. So mm-hmm. I was able to get some. I needed super glue because my boots, which I loved these boots, but the soles were starting to come off. And right. so I had to glue them back together in order to, like, be able to keep going the right. following 2 days in yeah. Grand Teton.
Yes. Things to return to. It's, I'm not trying to, like, totally, you know, take a crap on Jackson Hole by any means, but I think it better to encounter maybe when it wasn't high tourist season, but I don't know when that is because
but
I think,
also yeah. we need to remember that you are not somebody who has an affinity for like little town exploration.
No,
I would say
I am not Belle,
not at all. And I do I if I see a little town with cute stores, I'm like, oh, I'm stopping here mm-hmm. and I can spend the whole day here. Just like yep. walking around, getting
there goes
a coffee,
the baker with his bread
exploring, looking in this little shop, looking in this. I live
the same
for
old
that.
Bread and rolls to sell.
That is not your thing. Mm-hmm. We are two roads that diverge in a wood yet again on yep. that. Mm-hmm. So as we continue driving on after Ace Hardware, we get to Teton Pass.
Right.
And this was, I knew this was going to be hard. Mm-hmm. As far as driving goes. However,
but I was driving this
you
time.
You were driving this yeah. time. So much easier than going to the Sun Road. Mm-hmm. Not even close to what the experience mm-hmm. was like doing that. But it was similar to like
Colorado,
trying to get to the Grand Lake side.
Yeah.
It was definitely something you did first that I was like, okay, now I could do it myself mm-hmm. if I wanted to.
Yeah.
Which I did. I ended up driving it later.
After we get to the other side of the pass, we end up in these small towns, essentially.
Tiny little
towns. But like nice, cute main streets. Again, places we thought, oh, we could like check these out later. This was mm-hmm. less intense than Jackson Hole.
Yeah.
But it's very clear that a lot of people live over here and take that pass every day to work.
All the time. Mm-hmm. That pass is busy.
Yeah.
And so we mean like you're going up and up and up. And up and up into the mountains, and then you get to the apex, and then you start going down, down, and down,
yep,
and down.
Yep, yep, yep.
Until you get back to, you know, level ground.
Yeah. We, you know, drive through Idaho for a minute, Wyoming for a minute again, and then we were back in Idaho, was the way it worked, right?
We were in Wyoming through Teton Pass. Mm-hmm. Then we were in Idaho. Mm-hmm. That's true. Like when we drove through all those little towns, yeah. we basically were driving one way down this road until we got to this one little town, Alta. Mm-hmm. And then we turned right. Mm-hmm. And when we turned right to head down the road, that road about 3 to 4 miles mm-hmm. to get to our accommodations, that's when we ended up in Wyoming again. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was like a little bit of quick state travel there.
Yes.
And we get to this lodge, which is beautiful. It's really lush. It sort of appears to be like an A-frame or yeah. like a teepee.
But round.
Yes.
And it all comes to a point at yeah. the top center.
Yeah.
It was clearly a ski lodge or yep. designed
and
at one point.
Lodge.
And is
yeah.
a ski lodge. It was wonderful. Big, spacious.
Very cool, like open hearth area, like
yes, a gigantic
12 rooms like that's are around this around, common room,
and then there's this giant
fireplace
in the center. Down below that is some game rooms. There's like two terraces up at the top
yeah,
where they have
TV and exercise
TV, and they also like, have another game room
yeah.
and a pool table. It was lovely.
Yes. And
the owners
breakfast.
Were very wonderful yep. and they had a giant beautiful dog.
Oh yeah.
What kind of dog was that? Was it a Bernese?
I think it was a Bernese Mountain Dog. Yeah.
I think so. Okay. It was, yeah.
It was
gorgeous.
Real cool.
Anyway.
But we basically just like collapse here. This is also the first time we'd been in a bed in a few days.
Oh, yeah. We had like a proper shower.
Right. Because we really had been roughing it at that point.
Yeah.
Even in like a very basic cabin.
Yeah.
Like for a week or so, week and yeah. a half. So this was like.
I want to talk about how we found this place or how the origin of how this place came to us. So we're looking at booking accommodations and, you know, we always want to save money. We had decided we were going to be staying on a campsite for Yellowstone, and we had been doing a nice sort of like back and forth of like being on the ground, then staying in an Airbnb, and we couldn't find an Airbnb. I found this place and I was like, it's a little more money, but I feel like we should do it. Mm-hmm. And you were like, I found this like hip camp place that has no water. That's just like a field in someone's yard. Why don't we stay here? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to veto that. And I'm going to say absolutely not. Yeah. I was like, because we're going to be hiking in the Grand Tetons for two straight days.
Three, we thought.
And I was like, do you really want to come back to like a hot yard as your like end of day? Like, wouldn't that just make you feel great?
Hot yard is also the title of my adult film studio.
And so Mike was like, begrudgingly, okay, well, let's do this. And it was like, I know this is going to be the place of our dreams. And it did not disappoint.
No, it didn't.
It was wonderful.
Right. So in the morning, we got up. Now, they did provide breakfast, but we were getting up early because it was like a 40-ish minute drive back to the Tetons.
45 to an hour, really.
So we needed to leave before breakfast was available.
Right.
Which
so,
we were able to have coffee and make
oatmeal. They left some muffins out and stuff. They were so cool.
Yeah.
So we did. We made our own breakfast and then we got in the car and hit the road. And we drive down through the tiny towns, over the Teton Pass, back around through Jackson Hole, and then we drive back to the same place we entered the day before. And so we drive through into the park. We were trying to head to the parking area at String Lake, which meant that we were going to need to drive away from the Jenny Lake area.
Yep.
Jenny Lake is an area that a lot of people is sort of like, it's not technically central, but it sort of acts as the central point in Grand Tetons. A lot of people take the ferry across Jenny Lake. Yeah. A lot of people hike around Jenny Lake. So we were headed north of Jenny Lake.
Right.
Not too far, but we had to sort of drive this road away from Jenny Lake.
Yeah.
And then we got to the North Jenny Lake Junction, which is a one-way road that we were headed north and we had to turn left. So we turned left and that took us to the parking area at String Lake, which there was quite a bit of parking here.
It's a lot of parking.
There was, so we kept driving as far as we could down.
As close to the trailhead as we could
As close to the trailhead as we could. And the thing was like, the trailhead proper was like, we had to hike a little bit in order to finally get to what is technically considered the trailhead for this Paintbrush Canyon to Holly Lake Loop. We were trying to get as close as possible to get on this connecting trail that would take us there. And so we park at the very end of this parking lot area. And I went to the restroom. And while we were getting ready and we were about to take off, this was when you encountered this, this impatient dad.
He was just like, in a huff. There was really not many people. We were there early, not many people. But he was clearly like, he had kids that were like two kids under 10. He was with his wife. He was just like stomping his feet, like just being a child about like having to wait to gear up. And I was like, well, this is my show. Dusty got the gas station show and I get the parking lot show.
So we head off on the trail from the parking lot, which is ultimately a connecting trail that is going to bring us to String Lake, across String Lake, and then to the juncture. Looking at the map, based on the map in the book that we had and also the map on the sign, I was like, I don't know that this is going to be that much incline because all the incline is like to the sides. Yeah. I was like, I think it's going to be relatively flat because we're hiking at the like bottom of this canyon. I would just like to like insert Maleficent laughing right here.
This is
would you like
saying,
to give us
fools
that? Right, exactly.
Except I was already in the mentality of like, this is going to be tough. So we again diverging and in the wood. You
again,
like told yourself lies.
Sweet little lies. I gave myself so many of them. I just convinced I'm like, this is going to be an easy day.
Yep. No.
Right.
I was like, absolutely not.
So it was essentially to up to Holly Lake around-ish 6 miles there and then 6 miles back in total. On the map, we're headed away from the Jenny Lake area.
Yeah, and that's going to bring us up to a juncture which will put us on the proper trail to head up to Holly Lake, which is basically Paintbrush Canyon at that point. For a while, it is a little lovely stroll through the woods.
Yep.
But it's not long until we get some incline. And it's not the worst incline, but it is definitely significant. We kind of continue. It's a little bit of up and down for the most part right here in this section.
It's bearable, but I was like, I really thought this was going to be flat. Like we were up over hills and up over this. And then we finally like descend down to String Lake and we see String Lake. We take a moment here, look at the water. I was like, I think that's probably most of the incline for the day right there. So silly of me.
Yeah.
And then there's that little bridge that we had to cross, that wooden bridge.
Yep. We also got a very nice view of the range, the Teton Range here from the lake.
So many good views of this.
So this was like a nice little early morning. We saw a mom and a son who I guess were hiking too early that morning at the lake as well. But, you know, once we cross that small bridge, we do continue on through, you know, a pathway that's in the woods. But at this point, we are getting even tougher incline.
Even tougher incline. And the terrain gets rockier now. And so it's like rockier terrain. There's incline. I was like, oh.
Some switchbacks here and there.
Should I just swallow the disappointment now or not? Right? So funny. There is a few switchbacks here. And then finally we come to the top of one switchback and we say like, oh, it looks like another one's about to start, and we see we've made it to the juncture point.
Right. Exactly.
Of what is like the trail that's going to bring us up to Holly Lake. And it says that it's about 4.7 miles from there.
Yep. And with that, let's take our first break.
Hey everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year, and so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about, we're marking them up, and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them, and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. So we ended up playing this game a lot on the trail. So we're going to play some one letter change.
Great.
Great. This is a free ticket to an outdoor sleeping area.
A camp comp.
That is correct.
So this is a pain that the mutt in the Disney film about Lady and this mutt might have in his side.
Oh, a tramp cramp.
That's right.
This is an exclusive level of social hierarchy that you can attain where you get to rub shoulders with this deer-like creature that sometimes has furry antlers.
What is elk ilk?
Yes.
You're of the elk ilk.
You've reached elk ilk.
Mm-hmm. This is someone who is infatuated with people who can levitate off the ground slightly.
A hover lover. So So we turn to the right,
mm-hmm.
and
up we go,
and it is immediately up. And yep. I was like, oh God, no. Yeah. I know this is going to be up the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
4.7 miles in an incline, and wasn't wrong no, with that sort of fear.
And I was already living with the knowledge of this prior to, which I guess I could have shared with you. I guess something important to note too is that I tend to hike faster.
You do.
And I don't. And you don't when there's
except when we're going like down and, a decline, yeah, yeah. I end up going
and
faster.
And so I had to like rein it in a lot for myself. And then sometimes I just didn't.
Sometimes you didn't.
No.
Later on this trail, there was a lot of waiting for me. And yeah. It just was what it was.
Right. But the weather is beautiful. It's like a perfect day.
Yeah.
It's a little
have asked
warm
for better weather.
But it's not the worst by any means.
No. So as we're making our way up, it's like green tree coverage, still rocky terrain a little bit on the ground, but not too bad. And we start entering these things called camp zones.
Yep.
It'll say like, now entering this camp zone mm-hmm. or now leaving this camp zone. And there are these little signs that point to these little remote areas inside the
right.
The
like
shrubs
little campsites,
where
like
they are
backcountry
there are
campsites, essentially,
right, that you can reserve.
Right. And we knew we had to go through two of these zones as we were hiking.
Set it on the map.
And that was sort of an idea that gave us an idea of distance and also how long it had been and when our next sort of thing would be that we'd see that was important.
Right.
So we did see some hikers who had been hiking out as we were hiking up, and we just asked them, did you hike the 20 mile loop? Like, what are you doing?
A lot of them
like,
did. Yeah. A lot of them stayed the night. Mm-hmm. We had mentioned to some of them, we were just doing Holly Lake mm-hmm. and back. And they were like, oh, that's a great
right.
thing to do.
Right. After this, which is all uphill, you know, we stopped at some point during one of the camp zones to put on sunblock. After we kind of get through the section, it becomes very rocky and open. But
yeah.
there's
it's sort
low
of like a long
shrubs.
Open section
right.
with low shrubs
right.
and lots of flowers.
Oh, my God.
So many flowers everywhere.
And you get to see like the whole sense of the canyon
yes.
here from yeah. this opening.
Beautiful
like, as soon
view.
As you enter it.
And yep. like you're no longer seeing necessarily all of the Tetons anymore
no,
because you're in them.
The between a ridge.
You're between a ridge of two of them, yes. essentially. We think that this is called Paintbrush Canyon because of the paintbrush flowers that grow
everywhere
yeah. here, which we were able to figure out what paintbrush looked like and identify them thanks to Hiking and Glacier with Becky Lomax.
Mm-hmm.
There were also a ton of butterflies
yeah.
everywhere.
Yeah.
Here.
It was very lush and vegetative. There was also running water.
And this is like the reason to do this hike, I think.
It is incredible. Like this section, and we hit such good wildflower season the entirety of our trip
yeah.
that we had never really experienced
yeah.
before.
Alpine flowers.
And so this
such
like
a surprise.
Just added on to that.
Totally. While so, yeah. we were making our way up, we also passed some NPS workers.
We did.
Who like had backpacks full of tools. They also had like, you know, chainsaws. They were taking a break when we passed them.
Yeah.
Clearly they were like making their way up to do some trail maintenance.
Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't really know what was happening because like we didn't ask at that time.
No.
We just sort of, we said hello and we passed them.
Right. But they had tools.
Yeah.
Stuff.
They had tools. We could make assumptions. We could yeah. use our deductive reasoning.
Not long after this, did we see a group of people on horseback.
Right.
And they were headed toward us. So they were headed
right.
out. The person who
was leading,
he said, oh, yeah, we were trying to go all the way up, but
there's a down tree.
There's a down tree. So right. we weren't able to go.
Right.
We stood off to the side, let all these people on horseback pass us, which it was lovely to see all these horses.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kept going. And then we did run into that tree that had like fallen over. And we were like, okay, this must be the tree that they were talking
yeah.
about. And we had to
no
climb over it.
No way for those horses to go around.
No.
This is our journey of seeing lots of people, which is nice because we're in bear country still. And also there are so many hikes that we're on where we don't run into anybody. And so it was nice to actually have all these faces pass and get to chat with some people. There was a younger woman, probably around 19, who was literally just booking it. Like she comes up behind us.
Booking it.
We had come up to like this turn sort of like above the underbrushy floral area. And she's just like zooming with her headphones in. And
but she like said hello
yeah.
and like we said hello back. She was like, yeah, I'm trying to do the loop. We were like, oh, good for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
good for you.
Yeah.
And so we like waved, she waved, and like she continued on, and she was just like flying.
Oh yeah, she like fully flying.
Yeah.
This is a point when we were like hiking near one another, when I hadn't
right,
when taken her wind
right,
and,
exactly.
and followed her. Yeah.
Now, at this bend, this is kind of like a switchback here, because like we turned, we went up a little bit, then we had to turn again. We were in a little bit of tree coverage.
Yep, yeah.
That led us out to what we'll call the rocky section.
Yeah.
There's this section on the map.
There was like a basically a giant boulder that we were looking at ahead of us.
Yeah.
For most of the time that we were in this underbrushy area.
Right. And
we're
there's
like,
this
we think
thing,
we have to go up there.
There's this thing that on the map where it looks like we either have to walk across a boulder or walk across something here. We're not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But there is this big boulder. And then near it is all of this rock that looks like almost like scree rock.
Right.
It's similar to what we experienced on Tamichi Root in Black Hand in the Gunnison. However, like that was the kind of scree rock that you take a step and your foot is like
sliding,
going like a foot into the rock
right.
every single time
mm-hmm.
because there's so many, it's like tiny gravel, right? There was this fairly extensive area of just rock.
Yeah.
Like you would think it was almost like moraine left over by a glacier.
Yeah. And we also, this is where I'm ahead of you a little bit and I see a pika.
That's right.
There was just like a little baby pika.
A little baby
poking
pika.
Through the rock. And
I saw
like
it too when
around.
I got
you
up
did.
There.
Yeah.
It was so cute.
But this is also very exposed. So
hot.
It's hot. Whereas before we were exposed, but there was like brush around us and the river or streams running through. So
yeah.
there was coolness there. So this is definitely
this
like
is higher up.
Higher and hotter.
Very exposed.
Right.
So right after this section, we hit switchbacks,
mm-hmm.
which this was like
sort
it
of
wasn't
back
a
in the
ton
woods.
Of them, but we're back in the woods mm-hmm. and the switchbacks are, you know, long enough and they're going up. They're not as hard as some switchbacks we'd do, say, the following day.
Right.
But these switchbacks were
they're
plenty
tight.
Tough.
Yeah.
And they were about the same incline that we had been doing. Like
yeah.
it wasn't like they were suddenly less of an incline
right.
or more
or
of an
more.
Incline. It's
yeah.
consistent. This was the part where I'm fully slowing down now because I just, it was so, my body was so finished.
Your robot energy powered down.
All of it, yeah.
yeah.
And so I'm like barely putting one foot in front of another and you're being very patient. Thank you. And mm-hmm. I was going through sort of an internal struggle of like, I can't believe I'm moving this slow. Am I really this out of shape? Like all these sort of like dread questions, which like the truth is I was fine. I just needed to move slowly right then.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We know our limits.
Mm-hmm.
And like this trail had already hit the limit for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I couldn't keep going. It's that I could. I just had to go slow.
Right.
I'm dealing with all those like internal thoughts attacking me while we're headed up these
And I'm just
backs.
A Labrador fully living my life.
And you're running, like running, so excited.
Mm-hmm.
At the top of these switchbacks, there's this section that we'll call the straight shot.
Yeah.
And it looks like at the end of it is Holly Lake.
Well, it looks like it's
it
the end of
like
something.
It looks like it. We're like, okay, we got to do it. Like, it's not that
this
far.
This is a steady incline,
but it's
too.
Still a steady incline,
yeah.
and you can see the end point. And there were so many times on this straight shot where I was like, I don't think I'm going to get all the way there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually think I'm going to get all the way there. Mm-hmm. There was one point I had to stop, breathe some, and I was like, oh my God, just help me get to the end. And then I'm not kidding you, these like two butterflies swirled around me,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, well, I think that was definitely a sign from something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
going to
have... she gave me
she
some
came,
of that Rhiannon energy.
To, yeah. came to
and
age.
And so when I got up to the top to this, what I thought was the end, mm-hmm. I just collapsed.
Right.
I collapsed.
There's
like,
some
oh
rocks, like bigger rocks that we were able to sit on. We had some people that had passed us on the straight shot, some like younger folks in their mid-20s. Those whippersnappers. But
yep.
like, yeah, they zoomed on by. But they were also like, this is hot. Like, they were on the struggle
solo
bus.
Hiker.
Yeah.
She was on her way down. She's like, oh, yeah, Holly Lake is not too much further. It's like another mile and a half. I was like, okay, thank you. This was when you suggested, you were like, hey, you know what? Maybe let's just go to the lake and then turn around. We don't even have to do the loop. Because
yeah.
like there was a difficult section of the Holly Lake. There was this
Past
loop
the lake.
Around Holly Lake.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? That's a good idea. That's a great idea. This is when I really discovered how I feel things immediately and intensely. And it might be my moon in Leo, but whatever.
We do gather ourselves and our emotions, and we head off on the last leg of this incline journey towards Holly Lake.
And with that, let's take another break. Hey, everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Holly Lake.
Holly Lake.
That's right.
I mean, the name writes itself. Yep. Holly Lake. Mm-hmm. Do the holidays come to mind immediately when you think of Holly Lake or no?
Oh, she's a Hallmark queen.
Oh, I like that.
And Hallmark, you know, it would be a way to give an olive branch of inclusivity if you made drag queen that was like the host of your holiday, like in between the...
Literally what I was thinking. Movies. In between the movies.
She'd be like Maria Menounos at the movies.
Right. Or back when they used to do the dinner in a movie on like, what was it, TBS or something like that? And they
I think
had
it
those...
It was very funny.
Those people who would like, oh, we're going to make this food in between. Here's this snack. Yeah. Like, it had a lot of different hosts.
It did.
Something like that. But Holly Lake is the host of that in between the Hallmark movies. Mm-hmm. And she also gets to make commentary.
Right. And she's like, we're going to do a holiday craft. Like today, we're going to string popcorn together and while reading messages from our exes and then throwing them in the fireplace.
Oh,
like, it's
I like
craft.
That.
It's crafting.
I like that.
It's
today,
vengeance
we're gonna
crafting.
Make vengeance cards to like take a photo of you looking great. Mm-hmm. And we're going to mail it to our ex.
Right. Vengeance crafting.
Exactly. Oh, I like that. Revenge crafts.
Revenge crafts.
Exactly.
Where is our Pinterest page?
I know. Seriously. Revenge crafts. Right? It's like when you're like, when you send the, like, you know, you write the whole letter about your year and you're like, you know, this is how great my life is, but you only send it to your exes.
Right. I think that's our merch then. It's Revenge Crafts and they're sold exclusively at Michael's
and Hallmark. And Hallmark stores. She probably does like a lot of different, like, you know, holiday songs by different divas who, you know, if Hallmark was able to afford the rights to those songs. Like, I'm sure like we'll get some Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas.
Of course. How could you not?
Right.
It's already started on the airwaves, I'm sure.
Right.
/ it's all year round.
It's all year round.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love this. A revenge craft queen on the Hallmark channel.
She's got it all. Mm-hmm. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage,
Holly Lake. Send it to your ex and let them know how well you're doing without them. Mm-hmm. Happy holidays from Holly Lake. Sitting for a moment did give me a little more energy, and we were able to...
You were more with it at this point.
I was more with it.
Because I think you knew the end was in sight, actually.
And so we make our way up this final incline.
Right. We have to head at the juncture, though. You could continue straight or
and
you could go to the right.
And that'll bring you to... water lake, yeah. some lake, but it wasn't Holly Lake.
No, so we headed to the right.
We headed to the right,
mm-hmm.
and this incline is not so bad, though there are spots where it got really steep.
And it was shaded, though. We were
but
in
it
trees
was shaded,
again. We saw that deer.
Cool. We did.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
Yeah, it was. There was a lot of running water up here, too.
Yeah.
It was
very,
very
picturesque.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Mm-hmm.
After we finally do make it through this, like, it was more like a mile. It felt...
Yeah, it wasn't a mile and a half.
It didn't feel like a mile and a
somewhere
half.
Somewhere around a mile.
Then we do finally arrive at Holly Lake, mm-hmm. and that was lunchtime for us.
It was.
Those younger hikers that, like, passed us, they were sitting on this sort of, like, rock island in the middle of the lake
right.
that they had, like, made their way
and
to.
And as we were walking along the lake, there was another trail that sort of comes down to it.
That's
and
right. That we would have had to have taken up if we wanted to continue the loop.
Right. And there were three women who were backpacking.
Yes.
And we were talking to them for a little bit, and they had...
Super nice
done,
people.
They had done the loop. And we were just talking to them about what we were up to and whatnot.
They
Super
were like,
great.
Oh, it's only like 4.7 miles down to the juncture. That's yeah. great.
Yeah. Yeah. They were excited to hear that from
yeah.
us.
So we sat down and we ate
mm-hmm.
and, such a rejuvenating moment.
Yeah.
And it was sort of like, yes, those young folks were over there, but then they eventually left.
Yeah.
And it was just
they
the
swam.
Two of us.
They were swimming too. I think,
and so it kind of felt like just the two of us sitting there. It was lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And it was still, while it was exposed, it was cool.
Yeah.
And it was sunny, but yeah. still cool. It was lovely.
Mm-hmm.
We did finally decide to pack it in and start heading back down.
Yeah.
We left Holly Lake. We walked down this section. We got back to the juncture. We walked down the straight shot section, and we made our way back to the switchbacks.
Right. We didn't see too many people at this point until we encountered the NPS workers again on the switchbacks. And this is where we had the time to be like, hey, so what are you doing?
And
like,
so they told us yeah. a little bit about what they were up to.
Yeah. They were cute, and they were jacked, and they were carrying woodworking tools.
That's true. So,
and we were like, well, tell us more as we twirled our hair.
Right, right.
Show me how you cut the trees.
Speaking of handsome gentlemen, we also met another handsome gentleman
right.
on this trail on
the
way down.
At the bottom of the switchbacks, right before we were going back down into the big open area of
yeah.
rock. We'd stopped to take like an ussy.
I thought we ran into him twice.
No.
I'm pretty sure we ran into him
oh, we
two
did.
Times.
We did on the way. Oh, I'm trying to remember now.
No, we ran yeah. into him two times. The first time we ran into him, we were headed down and he was taking a break.
Mm-hmm.
And we just said hello and hi. And we were chatting for like a moment.
Right.
He mentioned that his name was Miles.
Mm-hmm.
And we said hello. In this moment, we both were like smitten 11-year-olds.
A cute alert.
Because we were like... It was like the really, you know, the cute older boy in school was like mm-hmm. giving you attention. So
mm-hmm.
it was one of those moments.
Mm-hmm.
We were like, oh, it's so nice to meet. He was so lovely and friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And then we said goodbye.
Right.
And then we made our way along the switchbacks.
Right.
So then right down toward the bottom of it, the switchbacks, we were like, oh, let's take some pictures here. So we like try to take an ussy,
mm-hmm.
which is the term we got from our friend Cynthia in Glacier. And then right behind us, Miles appears and he's like, oh, do you want me to take this photo? And we were like, sure. That's great. Yeah, of
yeah.
course. So he takes some pictures of
mm-hmm.
us. And then we were like, would you like to take a photo too?
Mm-hmm.
We're happy to take some photos for you. He's like, yeah. And so like he's standing there and he's like, do I look strong? And both of
and
us,
I blanched
we were
and
like,
almost faced.
Yeah.
And I was like,
and I was
okay.
like yeah, you do.
You do.
You, do.
Mm-hmm.
You look very strong. He's like, great. I think he was on some gummies or something
yeah.
at this moment
mm-hmm.
in time. It was clear.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. Whatever.
Yeah,
like,
live
he had
life.
Told us that he had like spent the night.
He'd spent
right?
3 days without a shower.
Right.
He was like, I'm sorry. I'm in a jet now because
I need
I haven't
to get back to my van.
Yeah.
I'm headed to Yellowstone after this.
Yeah.
He had spent some time in Glacier.
Yeah.
He a whole thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yes, it was a lovely encounter
mm-hmm.
and he was lovely people. And then like after we took photos, he just like, it was like he was almost running.
Oh,
like,
he was trail running basically at that point.
Down
once
at that
he
point.
Zipped down.
Yeah.
He did look strong.
He did. We told him the truth. He did
we
look
did.
Strong. So we continue through the switchbacks. We get to the bottom and now we're back into the rocky section,
right,
which is still exposed and still hot. And we're making our way down, not as quickly as we were before, because these rocks are not...
The footfall's not as easy.
Yeah. So that leads us back through that one sort of weird switchback that brings us back to the long open section.
Right, which is the kind of underbrushy, flowery section.
And we're making good time.
We are.
We see that the tree that had been blocking where the horses were was cut down by those MPS workers.
Right, which was kind of cool to have, like,
what was funny
been
was
there
like,
1 minute and right, then come back the next
when
gone.
We were passing through, I was like, why do I smell cedar so strong? Yeah. And it was because this tree had been cut down, and they had done that to a few trees that had been in the...
They were doing trail maintenance.
Trail maintenance, being there right after they were cut down, the smell of cedar was so strong.
Yeah.
And I say cedar, but it could have been pine. Who knows? But it was like a beautiful... It smelled like cedar to me.
Yeah.
What I understand cedar to smell like.
Me too.
So then we're...
closer to the end of this section. And we're getting close, and we see some hikers ahead of us who are sort of pointing off the trail to our right. And they like motion to us very quietly. And they're like, there's a moose over there.
And we turned and we looked, and
there's a river.
There's a river. And then on the other side of the river, there was some brush. Mm-hmm. And so they were in there. And so we're looking. And so I just turned the camera on. And then, like, for this brief glimpse of a moment, this enormous moose head appears, like, through the leaves. And then it disappears again.
Yeah. It was really cool.
It was so majestic.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt great because there's a whole river between us.
Right.
So I didn't feel like,
not
oh God,
the
moose
couldn't
is...
forge the river.
No.
Because it wasn't a big river, but we were far enough away and not trying to be in its business.
As we were making our way down, we did tell some other folks about the moose. We were like, take a look. It's like after this one camp, leaving this campsite area.
We saw people that were like, oh, did you see the moose? They're like, oh yeah, we told the other hikers about it. We're so glad that you saw it too.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
As we continued down, we finally eventually made our way back down to the original juncture that said it was 4.7 miles from there. And we sat there and we decided to eat our second peanut butter sandwich.
Right. Lunch two. It was like Hobbit Town.
Hobbit, yes.
Yeah.
And we were like, because after this, we decided not to go back to the car,
no,
but to do another hike. Okay, let's put Paintbrush Canyon, this trail to Holly Lake, on the Karen Stone scale.
I'm going
to
say a 6.
A 6?
Yeah.
Okay, 6. Two roads have diverged in a wood here because this is a 9 for me.
No, not for me.
This is a very tough incline.
No, I enjoyed myself this entire day.
Actually, comparatively to what we're doing tomorrow, I am going to give it an 8, actually.
Okay.
Because not this next episode, but the one after it. That's a full-on 9. So this is a... That might be a 10. But anyway, this is an 8.
Mm-hmm.
This is very tough. It's long. It's so much longer than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
It's
I don't know.
Long.
I just enjoyed it.
I know that you enjoyed it.
I lived...
You're
I was a
Labrador.
A
you're a cat at midnight.
Right.
You're a Labrador lapping in the water.
I actually would love to
streams.
Go back and do the whole loop now that we've done this.
Now that I've done this already,
right.
I would... This is a trail I would absolutely do again and do the whole loop.
Right. And one thing that Miles did tell us, because he did the whole loop,
mm-hmm.
he was like, Paintbrush is so much nicer than Cascade.
The other side, he said Cascade wasn't as... Though I'm sure Cascade is very pretty. But I'm curious, like, would we go up Cascade or would we go up the same way and then come back down Cascade? I don't know. Who knows? But we're looking at 14 out of 20 Karen Stones.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's time to end this episode with some Jeopardy-style trivia. Mike, are you ready?
I am.
For this.
I am.
Because I am ready.
Great.
Great. Who
Me
should
too.
Go first?
Why don't you go first?
Okay, so I was inspired by the name Paintbrush Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And I was inspired by colors.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give you a quote from a film.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to identify the film from the quote.
Mm-hmm.
But the film has a color in the title.
Grotto. Got it.
Some of them are a little tricky. And
great.
Some of them are not necessarily the most common names for colors, but they are definitely names for colors. Okay, are you ready?
Got it.
For 100.
Great.
I have to do this in dialect or else it's not going to work.
Okay.
For too long I've been parched of thirst and unable to quench it. Too long I've been starving to death and haven't died. I feel nothing, not the wind on my face, nor the spray of the sea, nor the warmth of a woman's flesh. You best start believing in ghost stories, Miss Turner. You're in one.
What is Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl?
That is correct. Great.
I was like,
see, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work if it weren't in dialect. Mm-mm. Okay, great. For 200. And last week, I saw Cameron Diaz at Fred Siegel, and I talked her out of buying this truly heinous Angora sweater. Whoever said that orange is the new pink was seriously disturbed.
What is Legally Blonde?
That is correct. Okay. You see what I mean? Blonde mm-hmm. is the type
of
color.
Yeah.
Okay, great. For 300. I don't need you anymore. All my life, you made me believe I was only worth what someone would pay for me. But Christian loves me. He loves me. He loves me, Harold. And that is worth everything. We're going away from you. Away from the Duke. Away from here.
What is 50 Shades of Grey?
Oh, incorrect. Oh. But that was such a good guess because it has the color in the title.
And also Christian. Because it's Christian Grey, isn't it?
It is. It is. Unfortunately, no, that is incorrect. It was what is Moulin Rouge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, for 400. This is the best thing to wear for today. You understand? Because I don't like women in skirts. And the best thing is to wear pantyhose or some pants under a short skirt, I think. Then you have the pants under the skirt, and then you can pull the stockings up over the pants underneath the skirt. And you can always take off the skirt and use it as a cape. So I think that's the best costume for today.
Oh my God, I have no idea. Absolutely no idea.
What is Grey Gardens?
Okay.
That is Little Edie.
Got
Edith
it.
Bouvier Beale.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
have you
seen Grey Gardens?
No, I haven't. No, I know.
Things we'll watch.
Yeah.
Yep. Things we will watch someday. Okay, great. And I mean the original documentary, Grey Gardens.
Right, not with Drew Barrymore and Jessica Lange.
True. Though that one was fine.
Mm-hmm.
For 500. Sometimes it makes me sad, though, Andy being gone. I have to remind myself that some birds aren't meant to be caged. Their feathers are just too bright, and when they fly away, the part of you that knows it was a sin to lock them up does rejoice. But still, the place you live in is that much more drab and empty that they're gone. I guess I just miss my friend.
Well, it's Shawshank Redemption, but
that's
is
right.
Shawshank a color?
No, but red is in the word redemption.
That's a stretch, but...
But it works.
But I know that quote.
There you go.
Okay. Well, I did pretty well there. Toot, toot. All
right.
Toot,
toot.
Well, guess what?
What?
It's time for a Teton Rhyme Time.
Oh, great.
So, this is a three...
I'm not going to lie. I almost wrote this, and I'm glad I didn't.
Great. So, this is a three-part rhyme, and it may create a sentence. It may not be like... Black Stack Mac. You know, it's going to actually, some of them will be sentences. Okay.
Great.
So we've got five of them. They are things that are Teton relevant, but not necessarily fully Teton related, if that makes sense.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This outdated or outmoded shut in of a forest creature with gigantic antlers.
It's not obsolete, right?
It's not, but it starts with OBS.
Is it obtuse?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's an obtuse recluse moose.
That's correct. There you go. All right, great.
I immediately thought obtuse, and I was like, that would work.
Yeah.
But I wanted to remember the word obsolete. Okay.
Great. For 200, if I had lunch with this Diane of First Wives Club fame in this national park named after its spectacular mountain range.
So it's eaten with Keaton... In Teton. in Grand Teton.
It is. It's eaten in Teton with Keaton, but I'll accept your answer too. Great. For 300. If you found these people, the middle two parts of the term WASP, at this store, which has surf and skate brand apparel, in this gateway community to the Tetons.
What is Anglo-Saxon Paxson Jackson.
Yes, what is Anglo-Saxons at Paxson in Jackson?
Great.
Great. For 400, this super quiet, exclusively secret, but comfortable and beautiful sable-ended tool for acrylics, oils, and watercolors.
Is it Hush Lush Brush?
You're close. What is the Hush Hush Plush paintbrush?
The Hush Hush Plush paintbrush. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And for 500.
I imagine that being a store, but anytime somebody comes in, you go, shh, hush, hush, hush.
For 500. This extremely happy, lassie-like dog named after a typically spiked plant in the evergreen family.
A jolly collie holly. What a jolly holly collie.
What is the jolly collie named Holly?
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram, on our website, and in the Gaze Shop is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written by Dave Seaman and performed by Dave Seaman, Mariella Klinger, and Sean Sklios. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang. This episode was edited by me, Dustin Ballard.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as Ocean County, New Jersey.